Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Beis, the second chapter. The topic of this perek is moving from Yehuda the Shevet to David the Melech. So let's start at the beginning. It's 55 psukim long, and we're going to journey through the immediate family directly to David, and then some of the umbrella family, some of the lateral parts of the family which don't necessarily lead to David HaMelech. The first two psukim in this perek are actually the tribes of Israel: Ele, Bnei Yisrael, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Yosef, Binyamin, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Not in the chronological of birth, but in the order, and it seems that there's another order which is governing this. First the Bnei Leah, and then the other Shvatim. We move on then to the family of Yehuda and Peretz. So from psukim Gimel to Hay, we hear about the children, the five children of Yehuda. The first three, Er, Onan, and Shelah, from his wife Bas Shua, from Haknanit. And then we have the two children from Tamar, his daughter-in-law, which are Peretz and Zerach. Now, what is interesting about this is just a few basic points, is that why do we hear about Yehuda and his children before the other Shvatim? As we're going to see in the continuing parakim, we're going to hear about a number of the other tribes and how they settled in the land of Israel. So Mitzvah Stavi points out that this is because of the Kavod HaMalchus. The whole point of this is to show the connection of Adam HaRishon to David HaMelech, and that's what the first and foremost agenda item is, which is why we're going first with Yehuda. It is interesting that in this description, it only describes the death of Er. It does not describe the death of Onan, although they both died. The Mitzvot David, the Ralbag again points out that over here, that's not the point of it. This is not a historical accounting for every detail. It's given to what he says, Kitzer ha-ma'amar v'lo zachar mois Onan. It is summarizing, and therefore it doesn't mention all of these things. The Malbim perhaps suggests that, in fact, included in the death of Er was Onan because he continued in the same pattern of lifestyle. And the Malbim does point out that there's an interesting aspect of this over here, which is that Ezra HaSofer, as he writes, Divrei Hayamim is mefarish, is explaining the Torah as well. And therefore, one of the examples over here is he calls this wife, this first wife of Yehuda, Bas Shua Haknanis. Haknanis means the Canaanite woman. This clearly it gives less room for interpretation than in the Torah's version of it, where you may say Canaanite means a trader. But in this case, it's not a trader, it means a real Canaanite. And so Ezra is giving clarity on that aspect. So the Malbim uses this as an example. As we will see, as we go through all the Seder Adoros, or all the different generations and the different legacies and family trees, there are always going to be little points added in along the sides about a particular episode, about a particular debacle, a drama that occurs. And it's in those details that the Mefarshim pick up and help understand what Ezra is trying to convey to us in and amongst the lists. We now move on to the family of Zerach. So after hearing about the family of Peretz, we now hear about the family of Zerach from Psukim Vav to Ches, and we're told that he has five children. Those children are Zimri, Eitan, Heman, Chalkol, and Dora. And among them we hear about also Achar, a person by the name of Achar, who is the child of Karmi, who is the Oicher Yisrael. He blocked up Israel, Asher Mo'al Bacherim, because he used of the forbidden items. What's this referring to? So it refers to a story in Perek Zayin in Sefer Yehoshua, in which a person by the name of Achan took from the plunders of the city of Yericho, which Yehoshua had declared as no-go, that one could not take. They were dedicated to Hashem. And because of that, they lost the next battle at Ha'ai. And through a lottery, it was discovered that Achan was the one who did this. Notice, by the way, that the word Achan was his name in Yehoshua. He's called Achar because on the play on words, Achar is to block up. And therefore, his name was, so to speak, changed because of what he achieved. That explains as well over here. This also, Rashi says, why this section is included, because to cultivate a child who can be so nefarious, there's an indication that this arm of the family of Zerach is not going to be the family of Malchus, which is why it's important to be raised over here. One interesting question is that Achan, or Achar's father, is named as Karmi. If you look back in Yosef Yehoshua, he's the son of Karmi, the son of Zavdi, the son of Zerach, the son of Yehuda. So where are those in between generations? They're not mentioned here. So Radak points out that Zavdi, in fact, is Zimri. And the reason it's not mentioned over here is because, again, the Tanakh is being Mekatzer. Ezra is not giving us all the details of this as well. And it's important to understand that that perhaps, as the Malbim suggests, that Ezra was consulting with a Sefer HaYochsin, another book which we no longer have, but is clearly referenced in Chazal, that describes all the different legacies and family trees. That's what Ezra was using, and therefore he didn't need to feel the need to put all the information in, because we could rely on that. We now move on to the next important section, which is Psukim Tes to Yud Zayin. This is about Chetzron, the son of Peretz. So Peretz has a few children, and Chetzron, we're told, has three children: Yerachmel, Zram, and Kluvi. Now, what is interesting? Kluvi. Now, the child that's important to us in this section is Ram, his middle child, because Ram, we're going to have go through the whole 10 generations. We have Ram gives birth to Aminadav, Aminadav has Nachshon, Nachshon gives Salma, gives birth to Salma, Salma gives birth to Boaz, sounding more familiar now. Boaz gives birth to Oved, Oved gives birth to Yishai, and of course Yishai is the father of David. So now we're connecting Yehuda directly to David. David is now described as the seventh child of Yishai, and he is described that he is the sisters of the in this family of the daughters of Yishai were Tzeruiah, Tzeruiah and Avigail. And we know that the notable children of Tzeruiah were Avishai, Yoav, and Asael, and the child that was mentioned of Avigail is Amasa. Okay, so this is what we have over here. A few basic points is that in these 10 generations from Yehuda to David, was David HaMelech really the seventh child of Yishai? The answer is no. He's actually the eighth child. If you go back to Sefer Shmuel, you'll see that he's the eighth child. So what happened to the real seventh child, Elihu? So the answer is, according to the menu in the Forshim, is that whether it be that Elihu came from a different wife, or whether Elihu had died at the point that this was being counted, but nonetheless, he was no longer in the picture to be counted. The Radak does point out that making him the seventh is, so to speak, closing the gap. It's a seat of honor to be the seventh child, which is why Tanakh is emphasizing David Melech's reference. Why do we need to hear about the sisters, about Tzeruiah and Avigail? This is not Avigail, the wife of David Melech. This is his sister. That's because their children, essentially, are very important in David HaMelech's cabinet. We know that Avishai and Yoav become generals of David HaMelech, and later on Amasa actually replaces Yoav when Yoav does not live up to David HaMelech's bidding. And so these are very important people, so they're also included in the genealogy over here. We now move on to Psukim Yudches to Chav Daled, in which we hear about the children of Kalev ben Chetzron. This seems to be Kluvai, who's the third son of Chetzron. So as opposed to going down the family line of Ram, we now hear about Kalev ben Chetzron, and we hear about his wives, we hear about his children, and we hear about how he has a child, Chur, and Uri has Bezalel. And then we hear about how he marries, and later on, to another woman who is a woman of Bas Machir, that comes from the tribe of Manasseh. And he married her later on in life when he was 60 years old. They have a child called Seguv, and they capture that. Well, they have 23 cities as part in the area of Gilad, which is on the east bank of the Jordan, but the king of Geshur and Aram take those cities back and conquer them back from them. Okay, so this is where we hear a little bit about the details of the family of Kalev ben Chetzron. Why do we need to hear about this family? This is not direct linkage to David HaMelech. So the Radak points out, because this is giving us the context of, first of all, Bezalel, who's going to be the architect of the Mishkan, so that's very important for us to know. What is also important to know over here is that he has a second marriage here, where he marries into the family of Menashe. This whole idea of Machir and Chavos Ya'ir, we know that the Chavos Ya'ir were an area towards the north by the Golan Heights area. Part of the reason Rashi says is because in the end of the day, Geshur, which is a king who was a non-Jewish king who lived in the area of the Golan Heights, conquered this territory during the times of Shoftim. And David HaMelech was the one to reconquer these. In fact, David HaMelech made a peace treaty. He married the daughter of the king of Geshur, and that daughter's name was Macha, and his child from Macha was, of course, Avshalom, his fourth son. So it's important to put things into perspective. This is about how David HaMelech was able to rescue this particular problem that occurred. We now move into Psukim Chafei to Lamed Gimel. And actually this really goes all the way a little further to Mem Aleph, where we hear now about the family of Yerachmel. Remember, Yerachmel is the firstborn of Chetzron, so it goes, Chetzron is the son of Peretz, and we focused on the Ram side of the family, which was the center line, which led all the way to David HaMelech. We looked a little bit at the Kluvai side of it, which was the Kalev side, And now we're looking at the firstborn Yerachmel. We hear a lot about his family now in these psukim. We hear that he has an Isha Acheres. He had another woman. Her name was Atara. And then it just, we hear about all the generations. It's worthwhile noting that there's a pattern in these generations around the psukim of the Lamids, where you hear about children lo bonim, without children. That could mean that they don't have children at all. There are no male sons. It's worthwhile comparing and contrasting all these areas over here. Why do we hear about all of this at all? So the Radak says that the main point of hearing about the children of Chetzron was Ram, because Ram was the line of David. But now that we've arrived at David, now we also hear about the other two siblings and their umbrella families. Who is this Isha Acheres, this other woman that Yerachmel marries? So the Malvim says she's a non-Jewish woman, and he married her for her looks, and it's connected to her name. What is interesting about this is that this is why, perhaps, not because she's non-Jewish and not because there's a problem of conversion over here, but perhaps that the fact that he was so infatuated by beauty and looks was, ultimately, if you follow through the family chain, you're going to find that later on, through this line of the family, is going to be a man by the name of Nesanya, who gives birth to a son who has a child, whose name is Yishmael ben Nesanya, who's going to be the murderer of Gedaliah ben Achikam, the last standing in the land of Israel post the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. And the Malvim says it links to the fact that this lineage already had, we'll call it, spiritual fault lines in it as well. If you look in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, you'll notice that in the middle of this whole section describing the children of Yerachmel, it says Elu Hoyu Bnei Yerachmel, and then it carries on to describe his children. So why does it sort of sign off and then carry on for a number of Pasukim after that? So the Malbim explains is that because afterwards in Pasuk Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey, it describes how he marries a woman by the name of Yarcha. Yarcha was came from a family. Yarcha was an Egyptian slave, which means to say that he has a marriage out of the Jewish faith, although it was true that Yerachmel did marry a woman who converted, that was Atara. But when it came to this later stage in the family, here on inwards, there was no conversion done. And this was a Egyptian woman who entered the family. So there onwards, from Psukim Lanadalet to Mem Aleph, these people are not directly related to Yerachmel because of the fact that there was no conversion done. That's what the Malvim suggests over here. We now go to Psukim Mem Beis to Mem Tes, 42 to 49. We hear about the family of Kalev ben Chetzron, which is confusing because we thought we just dealt with that above, had a couple sections back. So the Malvim says, yes, well, it started talking about him and now continues to talk about him now. The Malvim makes another suggestion that the earlier Kalev was Kalev bin Yefune, a later generation, which the Malvim says requires a little degree of reinterpretation because it's a little harder to read into the text. And finally, we go to the children of Kalev ben Chur. This is a later Kalev as well, so it seems that we're dealing with two, at least two, perhaps three Kalevs in this perek. And from Sukkim Nun to Nun Hey, closing of this parak, we hear about a number of the family of Kalev. What should be notable in this last section of 6 Sukkim is that a number of the actual children here are the names of cities in Israel. So obviously these are the founders of a lot of the important cities in Israel. For example, Ephrasa, Beis Lechem, these are the names of children. Kiryas Yarim, these are all places we'll see featuring in the book of Shmuel and in Melachim. We hear Tzarasi and Eshtael. These are going to be places in Yehuda, the Dan area. We hear about Ataroi. So all these places are going to be places later on. And we hear about the family of Sofrim, of scribes who live in Yavetz. We'll come back to them in Perek Dalet as well. This closes off our Perek, giving a sense of the direct line and lineage to David Melech and also some of the surrounding family and umbrellas thereon outwards. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.